This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire. Well, Wednesday, August 18th. We're just motoring through the month of August. Really good reaction to the Brett McMurphy interview yesterday. I know there's a college football contingent of y'all out there. I know there are you guys who play college football fantasy, gamble on college football. We'll be doing plenty of it this year. I don't exactly know how the shows are going to be structured on Fridays because in the fall, I mean, listen, last year there was like no college football really. It just wasn't very good. At least I didn't think, given the amount of cancellations and the late notice on games and everything. It was crappy. But the good news is this year should be normal college football season, making weekends even crazier. But I need to start today with what I think is going to be the biggest story today, at least at the outset, because of what's about to happen this morning. And I'm sure you guys heard the news. It's a little disturbing to even think about. But the Deshaun Watson case allegedly has the FBI involved and this carnival barker of a lawyer. And that's probably a harsh description, but given how he is acted throughout this saga, it's been carnival barkerish. He's out there basically saying, oh, hey, the FBI contacted me, everybody. Just want to let you guys know. FBI contacted me about Deshaun Watson, human trafficking. And again, I don't like the delivery, but what I'm about to say, you know, it doesn't look good for Deshaun Watson. His lawyer is going to speak shortly. Deshaun Watson reaches out to a woman via Instagram direct message who's located in Georgia. He does this while he's in Houston. He asks for a massage. He flies her in. He buys her a plane ticket. He arranges for the Uber. He Ubers her to the hotel in Houston. Like, he's building a case, or perhaps the FBI is. We should find out something about that this morning. That Deshaun Watson smuggled people across straight lines and got whatever he got or did. And human trafficking is involved. That's obviously a very, very big red flag. Now, red flag's probably putting it mildly. I should say, it is interesting in the timing on this. Okay, this has allegedly been out there for months that this FBI has been involved. Why does it come out this week? Because last week, one of the big stories was, hey, is Deshaun Watson potentially going to get traded? Because, oh yeah, look at the Eagles. And oh yeah, Deshaun Watson is at practice. And oh yeah, the Miami Dolphins and Tua. And, you know, all this talk about Watson traded. And this lawyer basically saying, I don't want to hear that. The FBI's involved. Back up off me. You know, and whatever. This guy, I don't like this story, Rob G, but we have to talk about it. I mean, again, you don't have to have a take on everything. And I put this funny meme that my brother saw on Instagram. I put it on my Instagram stories. And some people cracked up about basically how one day there's a bunch of people who are, what's the exact line? They're COVID-19 infectious disease experts. And then the next day they are Afghanistan geopolitical scholars. And there's an image of Dwight Schrute, like, really? And Rob, I know you laugh at that, but I don't know. What are we supposed to make of this? I don't have an opinion. I'm annoyed. I'm frustrated. I hate that Deshaun Watson did this or put himself in this position. I don't want to say it's over for him. I don't want to say he's going to jail. I don't want to say 6 games, 10 games. I don't know.
No, I totally agree with you. And this is one of those situations where it would be irresponsible for you or anybody else to have an opinion on his guilt or innocence in any kind of form or fashion, because you have to let the legal system play out. At the same time, it would be irresponsible of you to not mention that this is actually going on, that this is beyond his availability for the Houston Texans. This is beyond his trade value to the Philadelphia Eagles. This is
Carolina Panthers.
This is possibly a civil issue, obviously, a criminal issue potentially, and a federal issue. I don't know how likely it is, but these are things that need to be mentioned.
And I instantly kind of turn away in just disgust over this whole saga. And I quickly look to the gambling lines. Houston Texans obviously not playing Deshaun Watson in week one. Rob, do you want to guess what the line is? Jacksonville Jaguars featuring new head coach Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence, and no Tim Tebow, who we'll get to shortly. In Houston, rookie quarterback on the road in Houston against probably Tyrod Taylor, maybe Davis. I think it's Davis Mills. Any guess as to what the line is currently for that game?
Let me get Houston minus 1.5.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Trevor Lawrence is a 3-point favorite.
What?
On the road. Now, that is okay. How much public sentiment has swung. By the way, by all accounts, it's Tyrod Taylor or Jeff Driscoll. Davis Mills will be the third string starter. But listen, this is crazy to me. I believe that the professional gamblers will be coming in on Houston getting 3 at home against a rookie quarterback and a first-time head coach. I don't know how Trevor Lawrence is favored on the road. To me, that's stunning. But if you got it way back when it opened, they were 1-point dogs. Then it was even as the Deshaun Watson saga drifted further into the abyss. And now we're at 3. So I have a feeling, Rob, that is a lot of public money going to Vegas in the summer saying, oh, who can I get week one? Oh, give me a Benjamin on the Jags. And then you got, 500 guys doing that, 1,000 guys doing that, 2,000 guys. I don't know. And the line drifts out. I think the sharps will come in on Houston, and now we've gone full circle gambling and FBI to open the podcast. But there is an NFL story I want to quickly touch on, also involving the Jaguars, who are getting way too much airtime on this podcast.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Rob has obviously phased out my Jets. And I've turned my attention to my man crush, Trevor Lawrence, and my former colleague, Urban Meyer.
We only got room for one bad team in this podcast, okay?
He's getting off one-liners. So it happened while I was hosting the Dan Patrick Show with Doug Gottlieb on Tuesday. And I should say my buddy Doug Gottlieb, because a lot of people, boy, you guys thought like we hate each other, we're yelling at each other, it was combative. Yeah, that's all true, but we're friendly. I know Doug. Listen, I've worked with people that I don't like. Doug's not one of them. He's a fine guy. We work together. We get along. We play pickup basketball. He's a nice guy. We disagree on a lot of stuff. We disagreed on Kawhi Leonard at times vehemently, Simone Biles, Naomi Osaka, Tim Tebow a little bit. Debate is healthy, but we didn't totally disagree on Tim Tebow and the Jaguars. And, you had a lot of people celebrating this. Well, it's a good thing that privileged Tim Tebow has no chance. Listen, he gave it a shot, right? He didn't make the cut. I thought Urban Meyer would give him more of a chance. Obviously, week one, something of a disaster for him. We touched on that on Monday's podcast, if you want to run that back. It was pretty clear that he had struggled. But again, I don't know how many times I've used failure as a theme on this podcast, folks, in my own life, where I had just started the website, and then I went for an interview at ESPN, the magazine, and I basically was dominating the interview, just crushing it. I was like up, using a basketball metaphor, up 20 in the fourth, and then I pulled the paper clips and just choked. And it was a failure that turned out to be a blessing in disguise. It was incredible. I said, oh, darn, I've got to throw all my energy into this website. Well, that stinks. 2 years later, I'm able to sell the website for 7 figures. It's written about in the New York Times, and it gets me on the path to FS1 and a TV gig. Frankly, if I get that ESPN job at the magazine, I have no idea what my future. That's what's so crazy about life. Like, that big failure turned out to be one of the best things that's happened to me. And I don't know if you can say the same about this Tim Tebow situation, because his NFL career is clearly over. He's had his chance. He's now in his mid-30s, and the ship has sailed. But Tebow's pretty much done as well as you could possibly imagine, given where he was in high school. Acclaimed high school quarterback. Alabama wants him. Ends up at Florida. Wins a Heisman. Wins 2 Natties. I know he was only the starting quarterback of 1. And gets drafted in the first round. Was he overdrafted? Yeah, but that's not his fault. Pin that on Josh McDaniels. Josh McDaniels drafts him in Denver. This guy can't throw. This guy can't play. Denver's, I think, 1-7. Tim Tebow comes in. They peel off a bunch of wins in a row behind the magic of Tim Tebow. A lot of luck. And they get to the playoffs. And they face Pittsburgh. And I mean, Tim Tebow throws a game-winning touchdown pass. I mean, he threw a tiny slant, and Demaryius Thomas took it to the house, but Tim Tebow threw a game-winning touchdown pass in the playoffs. They got smashed by 100 by the Patriots the following week. And I think, according to Skip Bayless, Tim Tebow never started another game after that. I didn't fact-check that, but that's kind of staggering. Because obviously John Elway went out and said, oh, we can... I think that's when they got Peyton Manning. I'm not 100% sure, but I believe it is. Rob can
call that is me correct.
On that in a sec. Okay. And then, you know, Tebow bounced around. He never stuck anywhere, blah, blah, blah. Listen, if you say, Tim, this is going to be your life in high school, all that, oh, yeah. And then you decide, I'm going to go try to play baseball. You get to the minors. You make, I think you make double A. And then you go back to the NFL and get to training camp again at a new position. Like, that's living the dream. That's incredible. What a career. What a life Tim Tebow's had. He's only like 34. And now Tim Tebow, with sports behind him, can now go forward and be a huge preacher in the South. He could go into politics, which a lot of people have speculated. I mean, the world is his oyster. He's married to Miss Universe. I mean... other than living in Jacksonville, you know, Tim Tebow has it all. And no, not as a shot at Jacksonville. I shouldn't say that. But I don't know, Rob. I just, again, maybe I'm becoming too much of a half glass full guy out here in California. Too optimistic, too rosy and sunny because of all the sunny days out here in Cali. I don't know, man. But I just, I look at this failure as, you know, a stepping stone, right? I think I've said this quote. There's no such thing as success or failure. There's just stepping stones, you know? And again, another alleged failure for your boy. So I'm out here at FS1, and I'm doing Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and I'm doing the big lead when I come out here. Then the big lead gets sold to another group. And I interview, and I think I've told this story, I don't know. I interview with them, and they say, hey, what's your strategy? I'm like, well, we've had a strategy that's crushing. I mean, I run the P&L. You can take a look at the numbers. You can take a look at the traffic. You can take a look at the financials. Like, we're doing really well on a shoestring budget with next to no help from USA Today. We don't do a shit ton of SEO. We just kind of have our pulse on what works and what doesn't. We mix in the fluff with the important stuff. And I think we got a good thing going. And they said, yeah, we don't think that's a good idea. I said, okay, what do you guys think? We'll get back to you. Like, all right. And they get back to me, hey, your services are no longer needed. And at the moment, did it suck? Of course. In the moment, it sucked. And then like maybe 5 to 7 minutes later, you know, my wife's there and she's like, wait, does this mean you don't have to wake up and do the website every day? I was like, oh, yeah. And then it kind of sunk in. I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's not the worst thing in the world. Now, obviously, the financial hit hurt, but this happened, I think, right before March Madness. So I get to, like, enjoy March Madness. And then guess what happened at FoxSports.com? They said, hey, Jay, we want to go in on gambling. You've been doing gambling videos for us. Can you write up some gambling stuff? Sure. So within months of losing the big lead, I get on at Fox Sports Digital. And it just so happens, as luck would have it, the harder I work, the luckier I get. They decide we want to go in all on gambling. We're going to rebuild FoxSports.com. We want you to be at the center of it, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, oh, shucks. Yeah, that works for me. And obviously they're going to pay me. And so ultimately it's like, oh, I don't have to run a website. I get to just write about gambling on FoxSports.com. And I get to do that while keeping TV, and I'm also going to do the Fox Sports rate. Wow. And it's, again, like, it seemed like a failure at the time. I had so many people reach out to me. Hey, man, the big lead, you had a great run. And I felt, again, in the instant, like a loser. Like, oh, what a failure I am. I lost the website I started. Jeez. And, you know, almost immediately it was like, that's not the case, Jason. Wake up. And again, I feel like the same's going to be true for Tim Tebow. He's going to wake up, and instead of having to work and go to practice and grind, it's going to be like, hey, Tim, what would you like to do today? You've got millions of dollars in the bank, presumably. Would you and Miss Universe like to go on a cruise? No, why would I say that? Nobody goes on cruises. Do you want to go to the Amalfi Coast in Italy? Do you want to go down under? See what's going on? Maybe go in a shark cage in Australia. I mean, you could do anything. You don't have to be at the facility 7 days a week, 6 days a week, I guess. Probably wearing a mask due to COVID. Like maybe this is a blessing for Tim Tebow. I don't know. But again, I fail to see this as Tim Tebow. What a failure. What a loser. He sucks. He's overrated. Right, Rob? There's no gray area with Tim Tebow, which is kind of frustrating.
You are correct. He is one of the more polarizing figures in sports. As it relates to the comparison you made with yourself and him, I think what makes it different is your fortunes that came out of this whole situation with the big lead were brought about because you put out good work, because of your own grind, because of what you did that led to other doors opening when one door closed in front of you. Tim Tebow got his opportunities in baseball and with the Jacksonville Jaguars because of his celebrity. Had nothing to do with his abilities as a baseball player or as a tight end. And I think that's why people were so upset about it.
Okay. Do you think that's going to stop now that he's done football?
Absolutely not.
Okay. It's not going to stop. Like, he's got his name out there. His name has equity. Folks, people don't want to talk about this, and I should not bring up his name on the podcast. Like, when people went to the voting booth when Trump won in 2016, it was like, oh, name recognition. I know that guy. How many people do you think said, I know that guy's name, I'm going to vote for him? People don't know all the platforms of all these guys. Come on, get real. Do you really think the Americans pay attention that closely? I'm sure there's a segment that pays attention, but a lot of people know the name recognition. And guess what? Tim Tebow has massive, I don't know if it's global name recognition, but he's like a legend in the South. And I think throughout the country, he's a big deal. And he certainly clicks in religious circles. And you know that the political sides are going to be fighting over Tim Tebow. Obviously. I mean, handsome guy, married to Miss Universe, like football player, well-spoken. I mean, he's incredible in front of an audience. I sound like a fanboy. I mean,
you want another comparison that's going to piss off a lot of your listeners? You know who else benefited from something like this that people don't want to talk about? That would be one Michael Jeffrey Jordan, who got a minor league baseball deal despite having not playing baseball like in 15 years.
That's right.
But because he is a big name, he's a celebrity, and the Reinsdorfs owned the team. Sure, Michael, we'll let you come in on the minor league team and ride the bus and get a jersey and everything like that. Come on. Like, if you're going to be upset about Tim Tebow, which I understand you have every right to be, then please keep that same energy for Michael Jordan and the Barons back in the day.
I'm with you. I mean, it is incredible how people fail to realize that Kendall Jenner is basically making money on money on money just based off her name. She's now got like some kind of tequila brand that all she does is promote it on IG. And she's, you know, dating Devin Booker. So she has the NBA audience following her. And it's like, okay, I can sell tequila. The Rock getting in the tequila business. Like, it's incredible what name recognition will do. And I think pretty soon I'm going to lend my name. I don't know to what yet, Rob. obviously, it's on this podcast and I got tons of juice for, you know, having a couple thousand followers on Instagram. But yeah, I mean, basically, I'm going to do pretty much the same thing as The Rock, Kendall Jenner, Donald Trump, and Tim Tebow.
Sleeveless shirts. I think that's where your market is.
Put myself in that class.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I don't really care about the Joel Embiid the deal. You know, it's like they didn't really have an option. Okay, they're running Ben Simmons out of town. Joel Embiid is the franchise. He misses 20 games every year. I don't know if you can build around a center and win a title in 2021, but they're going to try anyway. I can't really get that worked up about Joel Embiid. That being said, did you happen to see who won the Summer League title last night?
I did. Sacramento Kings.
Yep. Oh, you watched?
Yes.
Okay, in between me watching Necaxa blow out a team in Liga MX. They've now won two in a row. I know you guys care about the soccer team I own in Mexico. They're rolling, by the way. I'm excited. Sacramento Kings won the Summer League title. Do you know who was the driving force on that team, ladies and gentlemen? One Davion Mitchell, Baylor Bears guard. Now, why does he matter? I saw that the Sacramento Kings had zero contact with him in the pre-draft process. Now, that's almost impossible to believe. So I spent like 20 minutes Googling this, reading a ton of Sacramento Kings pre-draft articles because somebody at ESPN reported they had no contact with him. It's mostly true. At the combine, where you interview everybody, the Sacramento Kings talked to Davion Mitchell. After that, they did not talk to Davion Mitchell. So a guard who was almost certainly going to go in the lottery, the Sacramento Kings did not reach out to him. Why? Well, they got a lot of guard. They got Buddy Hield. They got De'Aaron Fox. They've got Tyrese Halliburton, who was incredible last year as a rookie guard. They've got, and they picked up two guards in free agency. This is how well the Kings are planning, Rob. Delon Wright and Terrence Davis. They're both good, you know, fourth, fifth options at guard. The Kings decided, as Davion Mitchell falls in the draft, oh, we could use him. They grab him. And Davion Mitchell has now won a state championship in high school, won an AAU national title, won a college basketball title with the Baylor Bears, now has a summer league title with the Sacramento Kings. All this dude does is win. Rob G, I am infinitely curious. How is this going to work? De'Aaron Fox, Tyrese Halliburton, Davion Mitchell, Buddy Hield. Can you play four guards? And Marvin Bagley? Like, what do you do? I don't know what the strategy is, but I'm kind of fascinated. And, you know, I talked about the Sacramento Kings. So, you know, we talk about the Jacksonville Jaguars. We talk about bad teams sometimes on this podcast. You don't care about the Kings, but I want to ask you, is this like a good problem to have or not really?
Well, anytime you have talent, it's a good problem to have. I will say that once they made the Davion Mitchell pick, it felt like a precursor to another move. Now, at the time, I was expecting it'd be like the Buddy Hield to the Lakers fallout, which did not come to fruition. But now, what I feel like is going to happen, well, maybe not the deal itself, but I feel like this is going to be a rumor that you're going to hear about in the weeks to come, is De'Aaron Fox's name thrown into the Ben Simmons sweepstakes.
So Ben Simmons to Sacramento?
Correct.
And put him at the five?
Wherever you want to play him, but yes.
Because you wouldn't trade a point guard for another point guard unless you want to put Ben Simmons out of position, which I wholeheartedly agree with. I think the move is to put him at five.
I think that...
this is spicy.
This has been reported by a few people that Sacramento was one of the teams that called about it. And I think that if you're Sacramento, you're not a free agent destination. So the only way you're going to get marquee stars is if through trade. And De'Aaron Fox is a fantastic player. I think he's really, really good. I think he'd be a good fit in Philadelphia. But he's not Ben Simmons. You know, he doesn't have that level of impact on winning that Ben Simmons does.
Well, this is tough because Fox had never really had a chance in Sacramento. They stink. He was awesome and electric in college. I love this guy's game. I said on record at the time, I would take him over Lonzo Ball. Remember, he annihilated Lonzo Ball head-to-head twice. Like, embarrassed him. I think one was, like, in high school, and then one was in the NCAA tournament, I want to say.
Yep, he knocked him out of the tournament.
De'Aaron Fox is really, really good. He doesn't spread the floor, right? He runs up and down. He's not, like, his pace is kind of the antithesis of what you want with Joel Embiid, is it not?
Yes, correct. I would agree with that.
I mean, it's spicy. I like where you're going with this. This is outside the box. You say it's been reported. I haven't heard any of this.
Well, there's been a few teams that have reportedly been really hot and heavy for Ben Simmons. One of them was Sacramento. One of them was Toronto. And I believe before all these trades happened with Pat Beverly, who got traded again this week, was Minnesota.
All right. So let me, I'll humor you, or myself, I guess. And I'll say, well, what if? What if the Kings said, we will take Ben Simmons, we'll give you De'Aaron Fox, and can they unload Bagley as well?
I'm sure they could. They have to throw some picks, but yeah.
I mean, Bagley is just not a good fit there. I don't know how he would fit with Embiid. And they picked up another center, didn't they? Because they lost Dwight Howard. They picked up Andre Drummond. Oof, what bad roster construction. You give me Halliburton, Hield, Davion Mitchell, Rashawn Holmes and Ben Simmons. Holmes, by the way, is not a bad player. I like his game. I mean, he's a solid. Who's he comparable to? I don't even really know. He's like a 6'10". He's one of those rare power forwards who just eats glass. He's not a floor spacer. But Harrison Barnes is solid, you know. I want to say that they can contend for a playoff spot with those guards, but can you even, if you don't do a trade, can you play Fox and Mitchell at the same time, two sub-6'2 point guards, I guess, or sub-6'3?
I mean, in today's NBA, you probably could.
Who's Buddy? I guess if Buddy Hield, and then you got to have Halliburton on the floor. So yeah. Halliburton, Fox, and Mitchell?
Well, Mitchell will come off the bench either way. That's the way that.
But
the
like in
built.
Crunch time, you know, your best defender would be Mitchell, on the opposing guard. You know, his nickname is incredible. His nickname is Off Night, and the reason is because whoever he guards, they suddenly had an off night, and he guards like the best player on the opposing team. Like Corey Kispert had an off night in the national championship, guarded by De'Veon Mitchell. I think that's a badass nickname, is it not?
That is one off of the better night. Nicknames.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, listen, the guy is he's an irritant. I'm a total pest. Basically, what I try to do as a basketball player. Now, I can't really do that into my age now, but I like to think I can against guys my age. But, like, I'm kind of into this Kings team. I have to whisper that because it's like, how many losery teams can you root for, Jay? I am on the West Coast, so I get to stay up late and watch the Kings. Anyways,
and they're fun to watch because they play zero defense.
They have no defense. Well, that's the thing. The two guys they drafted, the kid from Utah State, Nemus Keita, the big guy, all he does is shot block and steal, and then Mitchell's a hound defensively. Kings are kind of interesting. Is it spicy enough to say the Kings make the playoffs over the Clippers next year?
Oh, you're crazy.
Is that too spicy
for you? That's a little spicy.
I just want to say, you're basically banking on Paul George, Reggie Jackson, and Eric Bledsoe to carry that team.
Yes, I would trust that a lot more than anything Sacramento has.
Halliburton?
Yes. I mean, they're nice players, but yes. Give me the veteran with the all-NBA guy any day of the week.
Remember, what were those NFT NBA cards called? I forget. NBA Top Shot, remember that?
Top Shot, yep.
So, of course, I got an account. I bought a couple cards. The first pack, I got Tyrese Halliburton. Somebody offered me like $99 for it. I didn't take it. I haven't gone to Top Shot in like 6 months, so I don't know what the value is of any of this stuff. But it's somewhere in my wallet or whatever it's called. Halliburton is nice, yo. This guy's got some game. I guess at 6'5", he could theoretically defend a small forward, but they're just going to post him up. Mouse in the house. Anyways, all right. That's enough bad teams for a Wednesday. We will be back tomorrow. Everybody have a good one. Keep it locked. Fun week ahead, and next week's going to be even bigger.